Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Today, our guest is hailing from the UK. We are so excited because she is our first international guest. Ms. Sonia Moisette is a lead security engineer, a Girl Code ambassador, and founder and advocate for Epic Women in Tech. She is the chief content creator and founder of Epic Women in Cyber, and which we will dive more into during this interview. Sonia, I've been trying to get you on this show for a while. Our schedules and everything weren't lining up, and now here you are. I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me today. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, it's our pleasure. Erica and I were talking about this interview. We're so excited to have you here. But first, we'd love to kick it off. Can you share a little bit more about your background and your career and just how you got here? You have such an interesting background.
Sure. So, that's a big adventure. So, I guess it started in the late 80s, early 90s, where I got my first computer. Which was an MSX MPC 200 from the Sanyo Japanese brand. And I was in Saudi Arabia because my parents were expatriates there. This was my first experience with the world of tech. So I was probably around like 5 or 6 dabbling with that. And also it was also my first experience with video games because on that computer you had 2 slots where you could put a cartridge, and it was my first experience with Konami games. Really first experience on that. Getting to also like floppy disk and big monitors and all of those really 1890s. And this is where I also started to do a little bit of programming with the MSX BASIC. So really early on programming on that. Where I started my IT journey, as I would say. But I would say it continues more when I moved to Tunisia and then France. This is where the internet was starting. I feel old like saying that, but this is where you had the first websites and the first pages on MySpace, and you thought you'd be a webmaster because you could change the CSS and the HTML on it, and you feel like the king, the queen of the world on that side. So dabbling with this kind of programming, if you feel old with like XHTML, CSS2, ECMAScript, like before JavaScript, I'd say. After I graduated from, so I attended business school, I've done international business and geopolitics. Then I went back to Saudi Arabia. I worked for the French government. I did a bit of entrepreneurship as well. I've done consulting. Doing a little bit of back to business. And on the side, I was still continuing to do programming just as a hobby. Then I moved to Singapore, continuing consulting missions. And then I decided to move to South Korea. This is basically where my move to the tech industry started. And also because I have an addiction to challenges. I don't know if that's because I'm INTJ and we're addicted to challenges, but one of them was to actually learn Korean, which could be like quite funny one to have like, why not? Let's learn Korean. That's an interesting one. I've decided to learn Korean. I studied for 21 months at the Seokgang University in Seoul. And also because it was a requirement from the current companies I was working with that you need to have a proper level of Korean. I was working for different Korean companies, and I was working as a consultant, but they were asking way more. They wanted me to build websites, so this is where I started doing a lot of building their websites, doing online websites using Shopify. So this was one of the side, but also starting from scratch, so doing wireframe design, implementing, maintaining their websites, all of those that goodies. And I get quite addicted and enjoying that. So yeah, I decided to study a little bit more programming as a self-taught, which was quite challenging at the time because we didn't have that much resources back like 10 years ago. It wasn't that much resources online available. So yeah, I was trying to find those resources. And also, funnily enough, it was also the time where, what was it, like 5 years ago, Mr. Robot was a TV show screen at the time. And so I don't have any issues with my father. I don't have any condition. This is not why I was drawn to Mr. Robot, but I think it kind of act as a trigger where this is actually what I wanted to work in the tech industry, the cybersecurity. So yeah, I had that mind shift hobby versus career switch and decided to go full on the tech industry and set up goals. I've set up a roadmap. So I sit down and did a lot of research on what were the most programming languages or technologies that could make me marketable. So basically, I was applying the consulting and marketing things that I've learned to brand myself and make me marketable just to create my profile. So yeah, I was starting with the roadmap and setting goals, also trying to discipline myself and not procrastinate because you're your own enemy. So start trying to keep that. So I've been involved in the tech community when I was in Seoul. It started with Free Code Camp, which is an online community where you can learn coding. So every week I was actually the local leader of the Seoul chapter for Free Code Camp there. So every week we'll meet up and discuss about projects and coding and programming and try to, you know, cheer up each other. It's like, yeah, let's do that. Then I started actually creating, so I started creating my brand. So with the portfolio, with blogging, also I started blogging. I started blogging on Free Code Camp articles with algorithms. I've also gave some talks there just to help and mentor also people who wanted to get into that industry, just helping the community, doing things like 100 days of code and all of those. I've also took a decision to purge my social media. So basically to remove all the noise from there, just to focus on following my peers, following things that actually is relevant for the industry. I've done exactly the same for when I was learning Korean. So basically I was like switching on everything like in Korean, really like have that zone. So I've done exactly the same when I was doing that move. And also because I'm doing polyphasic sleep, so which helps to give me more time, which is debatable, but yeah, it gives me more time to learn. So yeah, I was reading also books when I was commuting. I was watching courses and videos at Speed2, just to consume all that content. I've built a portfolio website to build on that brand. And I think this is actually important for developers, is actually to develop their brand, because usually they're a bit shy or introvert, so they don't think about that. But that's an important side if you want to get a little bit more public. I also built my, obviously, GitHub profile, spent a bit of time on doing proper documentation on the README files, with pictures and explaining what I was doing in the codes. Be consistent on my Twitter and LinkedIn profiles to have like really that professional direction. And I found a job through LinkedIn, which led me to London, where I'm based now. It's gonna be 5 years tomorrow, so yeah. So I worked for a fintech for a couple of years, and this is where I moved to cybersecurity because I was sitting next to the security team. And I was curious, what are you doing? Asking a lot of questions and being really curious. So yeah, they've proposed me to be a security champion, an unofficial security champion. But it allows me to have that opportunity to bridge between the developers and the security team. At some point, I actually moved to the team because this is where I felt like I was really interested in actually moving to security. And yeah, now with my new job, I'm fully 100% lead security engineer. So yeah, that's basically the move and all the adventures. How did I start from the MSX when I was 5 to cybersecurity now.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing your journey. It seems like you've almost lived several lifetimes with all of the globetrotting, all of the experiences that you've had. So absolutely amazing. Love to hear that that career transgression and then all of the experiences that you've had along the way. I'm sure that they've helped to really shape who you are as a professional and as a person today. So I have a question. During your career, did you ever feel like you were faced with challenges that were simply just because you were a woman?
So no, I didn't face any challenges based on my gender. Funnily enough, even if I was based in Saudi Arabia and South Korea, which is not the most easiest place probably to be for a woman, I would say the most challenging thing for me, because I'm self-taught and I haven't followed that CS degree path and traditional way to become an engineer, was more around the imposter syndrome. And yeah, I guess imposter syndrome won't go away. It will be there. It's just you need to accept it and try. So yeah, well, to beat my imposter syndrome, what I was trying to do here in London, because, and this was pre-pandemic, obviously. So I tried to attend a lot of meetups, conferences, events, women in tech events. So when you had, for example, the Google International Women's Day, I would go there to network, which is quite challenging when you're introvert. It's just, it's So yeah, I've been doing this, like attending a lot of events just to get a gist of different topics, even if it wasn't related to what I was doing at my day job, just to get that knowledge, that tech vibe, also to share that with other developers. What I've also been doing is participating to open source. So I've been doing this for a certain number of years here with Pride in London, which is an LGBT community, the one that are doing the Pride in London. And basically, I was in charge of developing their website and application, which is quite big, actually, and creating their team, their tech team. So I was taking this opportunity to create some DevSecOps methodology for open source, because it's not because it's open source that it has to be messy and sloppy. So I was just implementing the website with using the Jamstack technology and using the tools that you could find on GitHub, on the GitHub marketplace, to create a CI/CD pipeline. And you could have like quality security testing, all of those, which is great. And from that experience, I wrote blogs, and then I went to give some talks on that. So this helps giving and building the confidence and beating the imposter syndrome. So yeah, I was just like trying to challenge yourself for that. And also mentoring women in tech. I've been mentoring some women like to prep for tech interviews, for example, for them to not fear and ask more sometimes, because they tend to underestimate themselves. It's like, no, girl, come on, you can do that.
I love the women empowerment. We all do.
Yeah, because usually, and we all know that when you look at the job spec, usually guys will see like if there's lacking two or three, it's like, oh, that's fine, I can handle that. But if a woman will look at the end and said, oh, I can't do this, like, yeah, I'm gonna pass, I'm gonna find something that I can do, which is a little bit sad. It's like, just go for it, just do it. For sure, you can do the job.
So, Sonia, I love that you've provided a lot of different tips and tricks for how you yourself have put yourself out there and how you and your career have battled imposter syndrome. I am curious, however, what are some of those key kind of like identifiers that you start to feel when you start to realize that you are feeling imposter syndrome? Because I know that this is a relatively new thing for people, high achievers. We usually do all experience some sort of another, you know, imposter syndrome. But I know that this is a relatively newer term, and it is a skill. It is a skill set to have that self-awareness to actually realize that it is what you're experiencing. So what do you think is kind of some advice that you could give to any of our listeners on how to identify those, you know, warning signs maybe, and to know that's actually what you're experiencing?
Sure. So sometimes when I was in a room and I didn't have the answer, I thought that I was stupid or dumb, but you will realize that other people in the same room also don't have the answer. And it's fine. You can just go back and try to find the solution, because we're working in tech industry. So we need actually probably to take a step back and do some research and come back with a proper solution. So usually what I was doing is, as I said, like attending the meetups, the events, the conference, and doing a little bit of self-improvement and learning on the side with online platforms. This actually helped me building up confidence and come back the next day and have that those arguments where I could actually discuss a more complex problem with a developer or with a security engineer, depending. I would say I just spent some time educating myself, just training, online training, but also to challenge myself because I love challenges, is to also take a more complex problem and just try to find a solution to that. It'll be daunting at first, because obviously you'll say, I'm not capable of that, but there's a steep learning curve, but with that, and if you achieve it, you'll earn confidence with that. So that's also a good way.
That's a wonderful message. I'm going to circle back to something you said earlier that really stuck with me. You started talking about marketing. You started talking about rebranding yourself sort of in a way of, you know, looking at what's the cohesion between my social media profiles, how am I coming off to the professional space. And I want to dig into that a little bit further. How did you initially, first off, feel that was a need? And how did you start to actually go through that branding process? Because I know that this is a new thing for a lot of people. I know Jax, for example, has done some branding work in the past. I myself have not gone through any per se branding on my social handles. So I'm really curious about this personally, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too.
Sure. Yeah. So as I said, I'm coming from a business background. So for me, it makes sense to create a branding and use myself as a product, which is kind of weird to say, but you have to brand your own self just to make yourself marketable and attract recruiters, make also yourself as seen as an expert in your industry and your field for your peers, which is really important. So when I was starting that process, that career switch, as I sat down when I was drawing the roadmap, so branding was really early in stage. So as I said, I've decided to purge the social media, also to reduce the noise, but also to start creating my brand. So have this like more professional image. For a developer, obviously create a GitHub account or a GitLab account and start pushing codes. It doesn't mean that you need to have the green streak all over your profile, because that's also debatable. Just to show that you're disciplined, that you're serious about moving to the tech industry, and you're actually working toward that objective, and you're working on different projects. It also showcased that you can write good documentation, that if you're using the GitHub boards, like you can use tools like, I don't know, like Jira or those kind of project management tools. Even if you don't have that experience in the industry, you can still have it on that kind of tools and just use it. And I would say, for example, for those who are interested in DevSecOps or cloud, They can actually use all the free services that AWS, Azure, and GCP are providing and just create some pet sample projects and host it on GitHub just to showcase that kind of experience and also creating that branding. Blogging also is a good one because usually people don't think about blogging about their journey because they'll think it's not interesting. A lot of people are learning how to code, so what make the difference? But it's always interesting to just blog your journey. Also for yourself to go back and see the progress that you've done a year from that. So yeah, it's just blogging is also an important one. And also for people to give talks, because usually when I'm mentoring women in tech, they are scared of doing talks or participating to panels, but it's also a good way to just to work on your brand as well. It shouldn't be just for experts. You still have something to say if you're starting in the industry. You might have come with on interesting projects and you just want to share your experience. So it's also a good way.
Yeah, I love that you touched on the branding because Erica knows I'm big on branding. I'm currently writing a cybersecurity book and I had the fortunate benefits of writing our branding chapter. So all things branding, I won't say I'm a SME at a subject matter expert, but I will say that I have seen how it has transformed my professional trajectory because you mentioned it earlier. And I want to reiterate, but photos are important. The photo that you have up there, not just the content, because that's key. And then how you have the content laid out. Your LinkedIn, you do a great job. So any of our listeners, if you're curious, I would say go check out her LinkedIn. She'll share her information on how to find her at the end. But yeah, Sonia, you do a great job at it. And I also think GitHub is great. I personally have a blog. That's where I put a lot of my stuff. And I actually need to move into other mediums like Medium. And actually, that leads me into the next question that I want to ask you is about your Medium profile. And that is where I actually met you, is one of your areas that you've really branded yourself. Really, you've done an amazing job. And it's your blogs that you created and you founded called Epic Women in Cyber. And I'm not going to share too much about it because I want you to share like your history of why you founded this in 2019 and where you want to take it in the future.
Sure. So there's an origin story for the initiative Epic Women in Cyber. So as you said, it started in summer 2019. I was scrolling on Twitter and I was looking at the hashtag FF Fall Friday. And I was mostly seeing the same names again and again for the cybersecurity industry and thought it was unfair for many as an FF tag because it should be used to, and that's my own opinion, obviously, but it should be used to discover new people in the industry. So this is when I started looking for women working, studying, or just interested in cybersecurity fields on LinkedIn and Twitter. And who should have more visibility for all the amazing work that they were doing around the world. So every Friday, I was reaching out to 20, 30 women and mentioning, tagging them on Twitter. And then because the list was progressing, obviously, and growing bigger and bigger, so I started to collate the names on a list and post it on Medium. This was getting more and more attention and momentum. Traction. So I also got messages from people that were surprised to see many women in the industry. I was like, come on, seriously. So I decided to move to another format for this initiative. And this is where I started the interview series. So yeah, the goal was simple, is actually to ask the same set of questions to all women to capture their journey. And I wanted the initiative to be diverse and inclusive. So it's for cis and trans women. The initiative also showcased their experience and challenges. I wanted to inspire young women to choose the cybersecurity industry, to inspire women who would like to do to switch career, just to showcase women who are doing amazing things and driving amazing initiatives. And sometimes, which is quite sad, they don't get any attention. Just also for our allies, regardless of their gender, to be inspired and get to know them. So yeah, I just wanted a platform to get inspiration for other women, regardless of their origin, their backgrounds. It's just someone's stories from women in the cybersecurity industry, from the Middle East, from Asia, from Africa, from every area of the world. And that their story also can resonate with everyone, with anyone in the industry. And also I find it, which is a little bit funny and sad, it's a good opportunity for these women to be featured by their company. Should it be on LinkedIn or their internal communication platform. And that's, for me, it's a little bit sad that these women are finally recognized just because they're on that initiative, which is great for them because I got messages from some of these women telling me that they've got promoted or they got a little more recognition. It's like, that's amazing. But it's also sad at the same time, you shouldn't wait for a platform like Epic Women in Cyber to publish the article and just to get recognized by the company or your peers. And I also expanded the initiative to Epic Women in Tech, just to have something a little bit more broader on that side.
I love that. And it is unfortunate, you are correct, that this is the first time that these women are getting recognized, and through that recognition, you're seeing promotions. But the flip side of that is you are literally being a voice for women around the world, and you're changing some of their lives. So that is so amazing. You're making such a huge impact. We're in 2021 right now, and I know you have a slew of names probably still listed for interviews. How long do you think that this project's going to go on for? Are you just going to keep doing it forever?
The initiative is an ongoing one. I'll keep doing it because, in my opinion, it needs to be done. Unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know, but it needs to be done. We need to showcase these women just to show the amazing work that they're doing. So, I'll just use that platform, the Epic Women in Cyber, Epic Women in Tech, to showcase them. I have a couple of ideas to also not only interview them, but also to give a little bit of focus on the organization for cybersecurity or tech for women. Also just to, because some of the organizations are not known or small associations, so it's probably a good way because of the momentum just to give a bit of light on these initiatives. Just going to continue on that way.
Well, outside of Epic Women in Cyber, are there any big projects that you're looking at kicking off? And if so, can you share them with us? Are you going to keep them a secret?
I'd say I have a couple of mine, but I think it's a little bit secret for now because I don't want to jinx it. As I said, my main focus for now is Epic Women in Cyber and Epic Women in Tech. And also because the start of this year has been a little rough for me on a personal side. So I just wanted to maintain the focus on that. I've also had an award in March, which is great to recognize the initiative. And also, as I said, like to be totally honest, I'm not doing this initiative to get more visibility for me. It's not about recognition. It's really recognition for these amazing women. I really think that it needs to be done, and my mission is just to give more visibility to these women. Nothing fancy. I'm just going to continue that initiative and try to showcase more and more women.
Sonia, congratulations on that award, and the recognition is so well deserved. Thank you for continuing to be a voice for all of us out there. You continue to inspire so many by your work. So thank you on behalf of all the women out there in cyber. I am curious on if our listeners are looking to learn more about your profile or follow your work, is there a best way to reach you?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter, as I said. Branding. if you want to reach me, you can send me a message on LinkedIn or Twitter. Also, if you want to follow on the Epic Women in Cyber, so there's the Medium publication. There's also the page on LinkedIn and the Twitter dedicated page for the Cyber and Tech Initiative. This is where you can find me. And also, I'm writing walkthrough for Hack the Box on Freecodecamp So yeah, on their website, you can also find me, but usually I post everything on LinkedIn. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, you would know what I'm doing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the time here today, all of the insight. It's been a pleasure having you. Jax and I have had so much fun with you today. And we look forward to having you back, hopefully, in the future.
Yes, thank you, Sonia. You're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and HackZen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.